The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you an article on Triangle Radio Reading Service. The Tech Talk July 9th program had Peter Korn of Amazon on accessibility devices. The Conversation has an article on how ride-hailing could improve public transportation. The Sound Prints for July 8th is now online. Envision America speaks on speaking out for the blind, July 11th. Fiction Old and New, Friday, August 3rd. Canada has an article on disability and job churn. The Guide Dog Users has issued a guidebook on people who want to evaluate whether or not they need one. Tech Talk for July 16th has Envision AI out of India talking about their smartphone app, and the National Library Service has notes on their Nashville convention. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. www.waltermagazine.com issued an article by Laura White with photographs by Eamon Queenie. Givers, Triangle Radio Reading Service. Tucked in the back corner of a row of townhouses offices off Six Forks Road is Triangle Radio Reading Service. In contrast to the sun-baked parking lot out front and the row of cars whizzing past just beyond, it is cool and quiet inside, and the back half of the building overlooks a lush scene of verdant trees and ivy-choked bushes. The executive director, May Tran, greets visitors with a warm smile and a voice just above a whisper. Being soft-spoken is necessary, after all, when there is a live broadcast taking place just down the hall. For 35 years, TRRS has been connecting the blind and print impaired to the Raleigh community by delivering free local and national news and entertainment, as well as original content via live broadcast and recorded audio. What began as an hour-long program in 1983 has grown to programming around the clock, with live readings taking place amidst scheduled shows and podcasts. On a recent afternoon, the metered and melodic voice of a woman reading from the live studio trickles faintly down the hall. The feed from the control room echoes her. This is the nonprofit's normal day-to-day scene. During three live shifts per weekday, plus one on Saturday and Sunday, TRRS reads the News and Observer, Indie Week, Cary Citizen, and other local papers, including those farther east, such as the Kinston Free Press. It also broadcasts readings of magazines like Our State, The New Yorker, Time, Smithsonian, and Vanity Fair. TRRS loans specially tuned subsidiary communications authorizations receivers, or SCA radios, for picking up the station's signal, which is broadcast on a subchannel of WUNC. Most FM radio broadcasts are restricted to 15 kilohertz. The human ear generally hears between 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. The most common frequency for SCA broadcasts is 67 kHz, which tends to have more clarity and less interference than the other frequency, which is 92 kHz. TRRS can also be found on Community Access Channel 22 in Raleigh, on cable FM, and via web streaming. Or if you own an Amazon Echo, you can simply say, "Alexa, play Triangle Radio Reading Service." With a small staff of six people, only one of whom is full-time, and more than 150 volunteers, it's no secret that the driving force behind TRRS's long-term success is that critical mass of 150. "It's kind of like a family here," Tran says. "We have volunteers who have been reading with us over 25 years. We have volunteers who come in, people who love to read, and that's one way to give back to the blind and print impaired community. Volunteers are the lifeblood of TRRS, and those who join the team tend to stick around. One volunteer, Bob Kruger, is 95 years old and has been with TRRS for 30 years. Trent gestures to a wall full of calendars laid out in a three-month spread, with handwritten names of volunteers penciled in for their reading times. Bright orange stickers pepper the pages, each one denoting that a program will need a substitute reader that day. This means volunteers who have been trained and are waiting for their chance on air might finally get an opportunity. TRS's development production and volunteer associate, Shay Hargett-Hill, worked as a volunteer from 2012 to 2014 before moving to Florida briefly. She missed the station so much that she came back. She's been a part-time employee since 2016. Tran herself has been on staff 18 years. They can't get rid of me, she laughs. While volunteers might be the driving force behind TRRS, diverse programming is what drives Tran. She wants to ensure that TRRS's offerings encompass the wide range of its audience demographic, from local and national magazines to children's story time to poetry and science fiction. In 2015, TRRS was honored for its non-reading entertainment by the International Association of Audio Information Services for Symphony Notes, a program reading the NC Symphony program notes for the season's performances. There's also a reading of the Spanish-language newspaper Que Pasa Noticias every Saturday, which is one of the most popular broadcasts. TRRS supplements with outside programming to suit audience interest, such as an exercise program based out of Arizona. It's another one of the most popular programs. From the outside, you think, oh, this is a reading service, Tran says. Until you come in here, we do so much more. TRRS collaborates with the North Carolina Library for the Blind, the Governor Moorhead School, and the North Carolina Department of Social Services for the Blind. Thanks to volunteers, the station even has a system to translate the program guide and the schedule into Braille for those who request it, Tran says. One of our volunteers purchased the Braille paper, and we keep it at the Governor Moorhead School. The Governor Moorhead School connection has also spurred the TRRS program called T3, short for Teens, Tools, Talent, which teaches blind students how to operate the audio equipment for course credit. One of the youngest volunteers at 21 was actually a graduate of this program and continued to work the soundboard until he got a full-time job. On the other end of the audience, TRRS works with senior living facilities to rent out the SCA radios. For a minimal one-time fee, these places can stream our radio station live to all their residents, says Janet Schanzenbach, Director of Community Relations. Residents can listen to us 24/7. Fundraising is what fuels these possibilities. With no funding from the state or federal government, most TRRS funding comes from private donors, corporations, and individuals. This year, one of the fundraising priorities is to replace the 18-year-old studio equipment. The TRRS audio system failed last December, so the organization hopes to raise $30,000 by October to replace and upgrade the technology. Until then, dedicated volunteers stepped up, creating a temporary solution so the show can go on. That dedication is what seems to create the family Tran is so proud of. She can name the volunteers off the top of her head along with how they came to join TRRS, their roles and programs, and the amount of time they've been on board. When I came here, everybody was kind of young, but you grow old together. Tune in to TRRS to hear writer Laura White read a few Walter stories, including this one. You can find the broadcast schedule at TriangleReadingService.org. The Sound Prints Audio Magazine for July 8th is now online. A first-timer's view of the ACB Conference and Convention in St. Louis. Opening convention session highlights. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints Audio Magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind, phone 502-895-4598. Email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. On July 9th, Tech Talk welcomed Peter Korn, Director of Accessibility for Amazon Lab 126, to speak to us on the topic Amazon's efforts to enhance accessibility for the blind and visually impaired. Directory updated. In the past year, Amazon has introduced two new Fire TV set-top boxes, the all-new Fire TV with 4K UHD output, and Alexa voice remote for $69.99, and the Fire TV Cube, which combines aforementioned Fire TV functionality with the far-field voice recognition capabilities of the Amazon Echo for $119.99. Working with Toshiba and Best Buy, Amazon also introduced a line of Fire TV Edition smart TVs, all of which support 4K UHD output and over-the-air broadcast TV in 46 inches for $329.99, 50 inches for $399.99, and 55 inches for $479.99. Peter will review the accessibility features of these devices, which includes the VoiceView screen reader and screen magnification capabilities. In the past year, Amazon has also introduced a new Kindle e-reader with a larger 7-inch screen and updated its line of Fire tablets, some of which include hands-free Alexa. Peter will also review the latest access features on these devices, including substantial updates to the VoiceView screen reader on Fire tablets, which now supports Braille output and input, and an updated set of gestures for controlling VoiceView. Also in the past year, Amazon introduced two new Alexa devices, the Echo Show for $229.99 and Echo Spot for $129.99, which include a screen. Peter will review the access features built into these devices, which includes the same VoiceView screen reader and magnification functionality on the Fire tablets. Finally, Peter talked about Amazon Locker, a new feature introduced earlier this year, Talking Amazon Locker. Now blind customers can retrieve and return packages from a nearby locker instead of to their house or place of work, and use a personal headphone they bring with them to use a speech interface to the locker. Questions and feedback about the accessibility of Amazon devices can be sent to device-accessibility@amazon.com. Presented by Peter Korn, Director of Accessibility for Amazon. Email device-accessibility@amazon.com. Co-chaired by Larry Gassman. Email Larry, G-A-S-S-M-A-N, at roadrunner.com. Phone 714-449-1958. Co-chaired by Alan Lemley, W-A-L-E-M-L-Y at gmail.com. Phone 601-919-6907. Presented Monday, July 9th, 2018 at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern. Elsewhere in the world, Tuesday, 1 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time. You may download the presentation or podcast from the Tech Talk archives on the website at www.accessibleworld.org. If you're a first-time user of the Talking Communities online conferencing software, there is a small safe software program that you need to download and then run. A link to the software is available on every entry screen to the Accessible World online rooms. Envision America has a new product discussed on July 11th on Speaking Out for the Blind. On a previous episode of this program, the presenter talked with Envision America about how the company's high-tech products help the blind and visually impaired achieve greater independence. Envision America has just invented a new mobile app for its ScriptTalk Talking Prescription Labels product. To talk about the new app and all of Envision America's products are the company's sales director, Amanda Tolson, Chief Technology Officer and Vice President, Dave Raystrick, and Marketing Manager, June Robbins. To listen to Speaking Out for the Blind, go to http://acbradio.org/mainstream and choose one of the links under the headings Listen to ACB Radio Mainstream and Now Playing, or call 712-775-4808, and when prompted, press 1 for ACB Radio Mainstream. You may also listen to the program live on the ACB Link mobile app. For more information, go to http://link.acb.org. Show archive page is at http://acbradio.org/speaking-out-for-the-blind. Please note that there is a link located at the top half of the page and below the heading that says Home, Speaking Out for the Blind, where you can subscribe to the podcast feed and listen to Speaking Out for the Blind shows ranging from episode 94 to the present. Facebook page is at Speaking Out for the Blind, and Twitter page is at Speak Out for the Blind. You may also access this at Speak Out Blind. My new show email address is speakout@acbradio.org. For more info related to the show, go to https://speakingoutfortheblindweebly.com /list-of-episodes-and-show-news/4-more-information-episode-165-rebroadcast-revisiting-en-vision-america. I don't know if the V-S-I-O-N is a misspelling, but if that link doesn't work for you, insert the missing I in vision. On Monday, July 16th, Tech Talk welcomed Envision AI and its co-founder, Kartik Kannan, to discuss the topic, what is Envision AI? Unlike Envision America, Envision AI has the E-N-V-I-S-I-O-N, all one word, no hyphen. For those wishing to use the telephone to participate in the program, the phone bridge number is 605-475-6777. The mute is star six, and you undo the mute with star six. This is a recorded talk by Kartik Kannan, the co-founder of Envision. Envision is a smartphone app that enables visually impaired people to access visual information around them, like text, objects, and faces, independently. With Envision, visually impaired users are now shopping in supermarkets, using public transport, reading menu cards in restaurants, recognizing their friends, finding their belongings, and so much more all on their own. Kartik talks about how Envision's journey began in a school for the blind in India and how it came to life through a research project in the Netherlands. The talk also includes live demonstration and explanation of all the current features and functions of the app. He also talks extensively about what new features are in the pipeline, their expansion plan for Android, and their next big move. We hope you enjoy the talk, and we look forward to hearing from many of you soon. You can contact us for queries and feedback. Presented by Kartik Kannan, co-founder and Vision AI. Email K-A-R-T-H-I-K at letsenvision.com. Phone +31 651 670 827. Co-chaired by Larry Gassman. Email Larry, Gassman, at roadrunner.com. Phone 714-449-1958. Also co-chaired by Alan Lemley, WALEMLY, at gmail.com. Phone 601-919-6907. The Fiction Old and New Book Group will be discussing The Ice House by Laura Lee Smith, DB88955, on Friday, August 3rd, 2018 at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, in the Book Nook Room of the Accessible World site, www.accessibleworld.org. The Ice House is an entertaining and engrossing family story, which tackles issues including father-son relationships and what keeps a family together. The story is filled with vivid characters and transports us back and forth from Florida to Scotland. Here is the Bard annotation. The Ice House, a novel, DB88955. Smith, Laura Lee. Reading time, 11 hours, 48 minutes. Read by Doug Tisdale, Jr. Family. Johnny McKinnon's life is tumbling down all around him. The family business he has run for decades is in danger of closing. His son's heroin addiction has taken their relationship to the breaking point, and his doctors believe he has a brain tumor. He tries to take control. Some strong language. Copyright 2017. Co-hosted by Sherry Wells, SHERRYWELLS 1157 at gmail.com. Michelle Bernstein, Hamlet's Sweet Lady at gmail.com. Date Friday, August 3rd, 2018, time 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, and elsewhere in the world, Saturday, 1 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. About 15 minutes before start time, go to http://conference321.com/masteradmin/room.asp-id=RS7867A2369E0E. Or alternatively, go to www.accessibleworld.org and click on the Book Nook Room. Enter your first and last names on the sign-in screen. If you are a first-time user of the Talking Communities online conferencing software, there is a small safe software program that you need to download and then run. A link to the software is available on every entry screen to the Accessible World Rooms. After you have downloaded the simple software, enter the room, hold down the control key to talk, and let up to listen. All of our programs are recorded and archived. You may wish to subscribe to our Accessible World Announce List. Write to aw-announcements-subscribe@groups.io. Accessible World contacts, Robert Acosta, Chair, Accessible World, 818-998-0044. Email bocosta@pacbell.net. Website, www.helpinghands4theblind.org. Steve Hoffman, President, Talking Communities. Email steve@talkingcommunities.com. The Accessible World, a division of Helping Hands for the Blind, a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, seeks to educate the general public, the disabled community, and the professionals who serve them by providing highly relevant information about new products, services, and training opportunities designed specifically to eliminate geographic and access barriers that adversely affect them. Signed, Sherry Wells. Here is a news release from the National Library Service on the highlights of their recent convention in Nashville. Before too much time passes, I want to take the opportunity to thank all of those who attended the 2018 Biennial National Conference held in Nashville, Tennessee. I, as well as all of the staff here at NLS, appreciated the opportunity to meet with network librarians from around the country and for both groups to provide training and updates on a variety of important topics. NLS updated the network on the status of goals announced in the 2016 conference and shared our vision for the future. Below is a recap of some of the highlights. Key announcements. The efforts to move libraries and patrons to a wireless distribution environment will be called Future Access Reimagined, FAR. NLS is initiating the process to officially change its name, new name to be determined. Six network libraries are now using duplication on demand for circulation of talking books to their readers. Eight more network libraries are in the process of implementing duplication on demand. NLS is working with circulation system vendors to ensure all network libraries have the option to adopt duplication on demand. NLS will provide cartridges, mailing containers, and labels to network libraries. Network libraries will be given opportunities to erase and reuse white cartridges and containers locally. Beginning immediately, network libraries may register patrons for BARD directly, without requiring them to complete a separate application. A single sign-on capability is being developed that will enable network library staff to use only one ID and password to access various web pages, for instance, BARD, Network Library Services website, Network Library Database. The MOCA pilot will be extended for current participants through the end of the calendar year, 2018. The 2020 Biennial National Conference will be in Lincoln, Nebraska. Major conference takeaways. Wireless distribution is the future. Braille e-readers, refreshable Braille displays, are coming soon. Readership will expand due to outreach efforts and simplified eligibility requirements. Regulations will be changed to ease access for people with dyslexia and other reading disabilities, but not until we have the capacity to serve them. NLS can and will expand audio and Braille content. NLS must build or acquire media delivery infrastructure with sufficient capacity to serve a bigger patron base. NLS expects to have new talking book machine playback systems in 5 years. We don't know what that will look like yet, but we do know it will have wireless connectivity, a voice user interface, an easy mode for automatic download of books from a patron's wish list, onboard text-to-speech, and an emphasis on user experience rather than form factor of the device. Additional considerations. Migration from digital cartridges and hard copy Braille to the cloud will mean a smaller footprint, less space is needed for network libraries, as the physical collections are phased out. Less time will be spent by network staff on collection maintenance and managing physical inventory. NLS will encourage the use of personal devices and investigate commercial off-the-shelf products, but will also maintain its commitment to providing a free player to patrons who request one, enabling all patrons to have equal access. A BARD Express Mocha mode is envisioned to allow libraries or users to populate their wish lists, after which the titles would automatically download for easy transfer to a cartridge. Voice user interface devices like Google Home and Amazon Echo will continue to be explored once a streaming model has been developed. Self-service technology, expanded readership base, and efficiencies implemented effectively hold the possibility of actually reducing the per-patron cost of library services. Conference presentations will be posted for network libraries to review. There will be a notification when this occurs. For more information, contact Karen Kenninger, Director NLS, kken@loc.gov. Robert Acosta, President, Helping Hands for the Blind, 818-998-0044. www.helpinghands4theblind.net. www.policyalternatives.ca is the website that has the Canadian article on disability and job churn. I will try to read that next week. It is far too long to try to address in the 3 minutes I have remaining. Similarly, theconversation.com has the article on how ride-hailing could improve public transportation instead of undercutting it, and I will try to read that article next week as well. Here is an abbreviated edition of the announcement from Guide Dog Users Incorporated. The largest membership and advocacy organization representing guide dog handlers in the United States is pleased to announce the recent publication of a revised handbook for prospective guide dog users, which shares comprehensive information about acquiring and using a guide dog for safe and independent travel. The guide, 90 pages in length and available in ebook and print formats, a handbook for the prospective guide dog handler, 4th edition, updates a GDUI publication called Making Impressions, which GDUI members wrote and published a quarter of a century ago. The informative handbook answers questions not only for the prospective guide dog team, but also for families of people who are blind, blindness rehabilitation professionals and educators, and the general public. Part 1, Section 1, sets the stage with heartfelt accounts from many guide dog users who speak with authority about the guide dog lifestyle, which pairs humans and canines in a relationship, unlike a few others, that involves a 24-hour daily bond between dogs and their owners. Then the handbook covers the whole process of deciding whether a guide dog is the right choice for mobility and safety, choosing and applying to a training program, learning to become a guide dog handler, returning home and spending the next several years bonding with a dog who is likely to become an indispensable assistant and treasured companion. The manual outlines the indispensable support that an organization like GDUI can provide to guide dog users during times when their partnership can pose uniquely stressful challenges. For example, when a guide dog team experiences denial of transit or exclusion from a restaurant or other public venue, when a treasured guide dog becomes ill or passes away, or when family and friends don't understand how the team functions safely and independently. GDUI encourages readers and members to share the handbook with family, friends, colleagues, blindness and disability advocacy organizations, and other guide and service dog handlers. A handbook for the prospective guide dog handler is available as an ebook and in print from Amazon.com. I will try to complete the article next week. We've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.